Come on in, everybody. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Lord God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the life that you've given each of us, Lord God. We thank you for those that are here this morning. We pray for those that are not here for whatever reason, whether it be sickness or travel, or whatever issue, Lord, I pray that you would bless them wherever they are. Lord God, we do invite you to inhabit the praises of your people this morning. Lord God, it is our desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. That is our desire. Thank you, Father God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Give and take away, Lord. Lord God, when we pray, Father, help us to pray your will be done, Lord. I know that that we all have plans, we all have dreams, we all have people that we love, Lord. But we do want to trust you, Lord God, in everything that we do. And I just pray, Father, that in our prayer time, we're choosing to trust you, and we're asking you, Lord, to give us what's best for us. And if that's a time of giving, Lord, we praise you. And if that's a time of taking away, Lord God, we're going to praise you no matter what, Father.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Father, right now, Lord God, I just want to lift up Kelly to you. I thank you, Father, that she just has so much love for you and so much trust for you, Father. But I pray, Lord God, that you just lift her up and just give her strength. I pray, Father, that you do just heal her eyes, Lord God. Heal her vision, Lord. And I do pray, Father, that you provide for her, Lord God, everything she needs, Lord. And I pray, Father, that any doctors that you bring into her life, Lord God, that you're going to give them wisdom, Lord, and compassion, and just really to care about her, Father. But I do pray, Lord, that she's walking through this, Lord God, this hardship, this time, Lord God, this time of taking away, Lord, that you give her so much strength and so much trust in you, Father. And you just let her know, Father, you're walking with her, you're holding her hand, and you're being with her.
Care to know my name, care to feel my hurt.
There's no one to fear, Father. There's nothing to fear, Lord. There's no fear in perfect love, Father. And help us to have that, Lord. Help us to be overcomers, Father. Help us to lay down our pride and everything, Lord God, so that we can just be taught by you. Help our trust in you just go deeper and deeper, Father. As we lay these things down, Lord God, you give us peace, Father. You tell us that you're going to take care of us, Lord. And in that, Lord God, we just, our relationship is so much stronger, Father. Help us to want that, Lord. Help us not to be like in the world, Lord, where we just feel like as long as we have all the strength, which we don't really have, and we can just get through things ourselves, Lord. Help us to lean on one another and cry out to you, Father.
Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord. declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so that you will be my people and I will be your God.
Help us walk through this world with sober eyes, Lord God. And help us to keep our eyes on heavenly things, Lord God. And help us not to worry so much about everything going on with this world, because, Father, in the end, Lord God, we get to be with you in freedom, Father, without tears, without being afraid, without anger, without anything, Lord God. And I just pray, Lord God, that as we are walking this earth, Father, we do everything we can to edify you while we're here, Lord God, so that our light might be able to shine for others, Lord, so that they will have a hunger to walk after you too, so they can be with us as well, Father. I give you this day, Lord, and I just pray that, like I do every Sunday, Lord, that we have open hearts and open ears, Lord God. We want to learn. We want to come here hungry, Father. And if anyone today has come here with a chip on their shoulder or hurts or anger or anything, Lord, I pray that you help us just lay that down, Father, because we want to have a soft heart where we're able to learn, Lord God. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Jojo.
Go here, you might get yourself a guy.
Gary Reed is this?
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Jesus.
That's a great topic. Well, okay, so I think we're just going to forego the announcements this week. I'll just tell you a couple things that I know of that we have, and you guys can shout out things. There's a few things just from memory. One is, first, the parking thing. If you go straight back here, as you can see by this wall, if you go straight back in the parking lot, there's two trees back there. If you can make sure you don't park in between those two trees, because there's more car stops if you go through those trees over there for more people to park. And certain days we are overflowing the overflow of the overflow. So just don't park in between those two trees so that people can go through and park over there. That'd be great. Let's see, what else? Also, we have that new swing set that's being put in. It's being cemented in. So for all you kids or youth, we didn't put the actual seats on it, but there's still chains, so don't swing from the chain because the cement hasn't hardened yet. So there's that. Also, Tuesday, we have men's group, yes, and we're having some food. Is it any idea?
Chili dogs.
Okay, we're having chili dogs. I'm going through the book of 2 Samuel, so we'd like you to come out to that. And 5:30 Frisbee, 6 p.m. dinner, and then about 6:30 roughly after that we have Bible study. Let's see, what do we have? Wednesday, wait on, do you want me to mention that? I'll wait. Okay. Sometime very soon, on Wednesdays, the youth group is going to be starting back up again on Wednesdays. So we're going to be doing that again. We'll let you know the exact date, maybe the beginning of this next month. We'll have to talk about it, I don't know. But we're going to talk about that. And then Thursday, barbecue Bible study for food and fellowship. You just don't need to bring anything unless you want to. Just come out, enjoy the food, enjoy the fellowship. It's a great time. And Friday, is that Friday Forum? Is anybody here from Friday Forum? I just saw Sue back there. Diana?
I believe it's at Sue's this time.
Okay, at Sue's house. Is that this Friday?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, so Friday Forum. Okay, so we have a packed week. And you're welcome to come to any of those things. Except, of course, if you're a woman coming to the men's group, that'd be a little awkward. But, okay. we've been going through the book of Romans. Okay, and but wait, we're not going to go into Romans today.
What?
So we're actually going through the book of Romans, and I just want to talk just for a few minutes, and I'm going to give it over to a friend of mine, Gary, and he's going to teach us tonight, or today. So, you know, I just was at a service yesterday, did a funeral for some folks, and it was so amazing. So many people from this church cooked all night long for the service and did so much setup, and it was just amazing what this body did. It was great, you know. But one thing that really struck me as I was looking out and talking to the different people, and you know, if you're here today and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I mean, of course, not know about him, but you know him personally, that he's your Lord, he's your best friend. Man, can I say, what an awesome, awesome privilege you have on this planet. What an amazing blessing you have. And never, ever take that for granted, because we're coming into dark, dark times when people are believing the lie. They're believing the lie is the truth, and the truth is the lie. It is an upside-down world. If you know him personally, you thank him, and you live for him, and you honor him, and you glorify him all the days you have here, because the days are numbered, and it's just getting crazy what people are coming up with in their minds. It's just wacky. And so just thank him for that. last week we talked about in Romans, you know, just the body and how important that is. And, you know, I've even watched folks in the body sometimes if they've wandered off, they leave weird stuff in their minds or, you know, they start down the wrong road or a sin pattern and they start going this way and that way. And it's so sad to me. How much more do we need to draw near to Jesus and draw near to one another, even with all our flaws? Do we have flaws?
Yeah.
Do I have flaws?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yes. But you're the pastor. Yeah, I still have. But I love my Lord. And I want you to love him and glorify him all the days of your life. That you would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why you're still here. So you can shine brightly for him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Does anybody have a word before we get started? And if you do, I'll give you the mic. If you do, I'll give you the mic. And if not, then I'm going to switch it over to Gear. Okay, Mark, you want to say something?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a mic. I know you don't want it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Last week when we were talking about the body of Christ and pride and things people think think of themselves more highly than they should. As we were talking about that, the Lord gave me a part of the body that nobody ever sees, that nobody even thinks about, and that's called the immune system. But that is the part of the body that God gives every person to take care of the body. And we, as his children, can be part of the immune system of his body. And that is through prayer, through hearing what the Lord has to say to us about who he is and what he wants to do through us. And that's something that we have no pride in. We have no part in other than being willing and obedient to him. We need to be humble and listen to what the Lord has to say to us about being and praying for other people. And that's why Gary's message today is so important. Because if you don't think you hear from God, if you think you hear from him but aren't really sure, or how should I hear from God, or should I even expect to hear from God, you need to hear today's message. There's no question about it. Take notes, please, so that you can have that same expectation to hear from God.
Yes. And you know what? Being a part of that immune system, too. I know I don't have the mic, so hopefully you can hear me. But being a part of that immune system, part of what the immune system does is it comes in and it helps, it nourishes, it protects, right? How much more it strengthens one another. It rebuilds. Good, shout them out. That's all good words. That's what true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are supposed to be doing for one another. Loving, encouraging, strengthening, correcting,
detoxing.
Whatever. Detoxing, whatever. That's what we're supposed to be doing for one another. That's what they're protecting one another. And I've watched other folks when they're down. If you let folks know what's going on in your life, if you open up, the people come around them and help them. And I love to see that. So that's a good word. All right, well, we're going to pray for Gary as he gets started. He's talking about hearing the voice of God. And so let's all pray together and let's lift him up. Father, just pray for your words to flow through Gary right now, Lord God. And this is such an important topic, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that, again, that he would say nothing that is not of you and everything that is of you. I pray that you would give us listening ears to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say, Father. I pray if you have a word for someone here to give out as we're going through these teachings, Lord, just like every week, Lord, that you would have them speak it out, Lord, or a question to be asked or whatever, Lord, that you would speak truth, Lord, that you would speak out, Lord God, and that we could address it, Lord. I pray that you would help us to learn to hear your voice clearer and better. And that you would help us to live holy lives, Lord, so that we can really shine for you, Lord, and not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I ask that you would do that here in Jesus Christ's name. Bless Gary and bless us right now in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Let's see, George, you got me good?
Yeah, can I have a couple of young people hand out? We're not going to have a PowerPoint today. We're going to have a handout instead. So I have a couple of young people to pass these out, please.
I'm young.
Lord, give me patience.
That's why he sent me to you.
Yeah, let me explain the handout while we go on. Rather than have a PowerPoint that you can't take home with you, better to have a handout that you can. And that there's Darren, when I told him the subject, I thought the Lord had given me Genesis. Well, make sure you include a lot of scripture. Well, there it is, a lot of scripture. Yeah, let me have one too. I have my notes, but anyway, there's a ton of scriptures, and some of them, yeah, I'm going to just read from up here. Because of time, the Lord, may even lead me to skip over some. And then, but let's all be Bereans, and then let's take the notes home, and take a look at these scriptures during the week. As you can see, there's a ton of stuff here. And I figure if the Super Bowl doesn't start till 6, I'll be done by 4. Nobody's laughing at that. In all seriousness, though, this is going to take 2 Sundays. We're going to spend 2 Sundays on this, so take this home and then bring it back again next week. Okay, does everybody have a copy in their hands? Okay, before I start, let me just go back to the Lord. Father, we come here to study your word, Lord. I'd ask that your word would start a fire in our hearts, Lord, a fire that would burn off anything that's not of you, Lord, that would burn off any hardness, any sin, any skepticism, anything that does not come of you, Lord. Use this time to your glory. As Darren said, Lord, I only want your words to come true today, Lord, because only your word is true. And so if I'm about to say something that's wrong, then stop it. And if I don't stop, Lord, to have Pastor Darren or someone else here correct me, Lord. Don't let anybody take something away from this morning that's not of you. Because we only want your word. Because your word is wholly true and good for all purposes in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. I think we probably all agree that knowing Jesus as Savior is the most important thing in our lives. And I suspect we'd all agree that spending time in the Word and in prayer is is the next most important thing. I don't know if it's number 3 on the list, but it's pretty high. Knowing how to hear from the Lord on a regular basis, routinely, I think it's also important. If you have something to contribute, please feel free. And I, by the way, just so everybody knows, I've invited Darren to jump in anytime he wants. So don't take anything special from that. He's just trying to make sure we stay on the right track. It's interesting, a friend of mine, retired pastor Bob Yawberg, periodically sends out an email reflections kind of thing. And I got one yesterday, and it included a quote from Charles Spurgeon. And you all probably recognize the voice Spurgeon. He was a preacher back, I guess, what, the 1700s, early 1800s? And led thousands of people to the Lord, taught hundreds of pastors in his life. Here's a quote from Spurgeon. The preacher is responsible for the faithfulness of his preaching, but hearers are also responsible for the earnestness of their hearing. Bit of a challenge. Okay, one last item before we start, And they, I know last week Darren said he paid $500 had somebody been willing to teach last Sunday. for the record.
That was last week.
For the record, he has not offered anything, nor have I accepted anything for this teaching this morning. I want that on tape. George, you got that on tape for everybody. No, actually, back in December, the Lord put it on my heart to do a message on hearing from the Lord. And frankly, I think it's on his heart. I think he wants the people in our little body here to hear from him on a more regular basis. I know some of you are used to hearing from the Lord daily, and others go, gee, I talk to God, but I never hear him talk back to me. Wherever you are in that spectrum, I think the Lord has a message for you here. And that I'd like to start with the Lord's Prayer. So would everybody join me in Matthew 6:5? Start at 6:5 and go through 13.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
The disciples had asked Jesus how to pray. Let's look at it verse by verse. Verse 5. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they received their reward in full. They clearly were not looking to hear from the Lord. They were praying to be seen. They were praying to speak out, not to hear from the Lord. They were praying for themselves. But whether they were praying for themselves or not, they weren't going to hear from the Lord in that situation. There's a warning there. Verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And we can pray anywhere. We can pray in a car, I think you probably often do. But I think it's important to have a place where you're used to meeting the Lord, in that place where it's quiet. I mean, I have a chair in my living room, and typically, you know, my time is, you know, generally I'm the only one up and about in the house. It's quiet. Granted, I've got a cup of coffee sitting beside me. And that, but I can focus. I don't have a lot of visual distraction. I don't have a lot of audio distraction. I think it's important that we have a regular time where there's silence. Verse 7, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Not how many times we can say the Lord's Prayer. Truthfully, I think God already knows what's on our minds. Like, I know He knows what's on our minds. And that, so to repeat a prayer doesn't impress the Lord. He's more concerned with our heart. Verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, hallowed is a word we don't use anymore. It means to be made holy, purified. We should recognize that when we're praying, we're talking to the creator of the universe, the God who spoke the universe into existence, the God who breathed life into us. And it's hard for me to wrap, I don't know that I'll ever in this life completely wrap my head around that. Because that, on a regular basis, and it happens to all of us, I'm sure, that the Lord, you look at something and go, wow, that's impressive. That's amazing. And so we need to keep that in mind when we're going to God to hear from Him, that that's who we're trying to hear from. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The answers that we're given, seeking from the Lord, the guidance, is the kind of guidance that brings His kingdom on earth to make earth more like heaven. That's His will. And that we seek Him, become disciples, and make earth more like heaven. Not that we'll ever get there. And that, but this should be our goal. 11, give us today our daily bread. It's fully appropriate that we pray to the Lord for our needs. Absolutely appropriate for us to do that. But we need to expect that He'll have an answer and guide us to those needs. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I make a regular habit, and I would advise everybody to do the same, to ask the Lord, reveal any sin in my life. What do you want to be changed? What do I need to confess, repent of, and seek your forgiveness? It's not, it's easy to go, okay, Lord, yeah, just forgive me my sins. I don't want to acknowledge what they are. I don't want to change anything. Just forgive my sins. Better if we go to Him, find out specifically what He wants to address in our life at that time. I don't understand it, but it seems as if God deals with one sin at a time in our life. And it's like, this is the one I want you to work with today. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Lord, is there anybody that I have not forgiven, I'm holding unforgiveness to? I think we've all seen how unforgiveness causes us to do some really bad stuff. If you read crime reports or watch any cop shows on TV, so much of it is because of unforgiveness. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We're wise to go to the Lord and ask Him where the temptation comes from. And when temptation comes, to ask Him to show us what spiritual tool we need to use to fight the enemy. Jesus has provided a whole pattern on prayer. Let's look at some specific issues. The first one is, why would God want to speak to us? 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Now, having a loving relationship depends on knowing each other. And I don't think you can have a relationship and know one another unless there's a two-way conversation. Right? You think about it. Right? If you're mad at your spouse, right, how many of you... Right, oh, I'm going to give them the silent treatment. I'm just not going to talk to them for a while. Huh? Or you have a teenager. You have a teenager. It's like, I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I'm not going to talk to you. Just get out of my life. God's not like that. He wants to love on us. Well, to love on us, we need to hear from Him. He hears from us. He knows what's on our mind, but we need to hear from Him. How else do we know who He is, how He is. We need to hear from Him.
Gary, I was thinking as you were reading that prayer in Matthew 2, your kingdom come, your will be done. Just thinking about that, it's just a comment, it's not a prayer. It's just a thought.
You can correct me anytime you want.
It's just a thought. No, thanks. It's just a thought. As I was reading that, your will be done, I wonder if, so many times we're not hearing from the Lord, because in a sense, although we don't want to say it, maybe we're being like the Pharisees, or we're just praying what we want,
in a sense,
what our will be done, instead of asking him, Lord, I want you just to empty me of my will. And you no wonder I'm not hearing, because I'm so, you know, hellbound, determined to get my will done. Mm-hmm. And if we would just change our thinking, maybe as you were reading mm-hmm. that, I'm thinking, man, Lord, you know, what if I just, man, what's your will in this situation? How do you want me to handle this now? How do you, what?
100% agreement, yeah. Yeah, well, later on, we'll have a section on, you know, why we might not be hearing from God. Why should I want to hear from God? Well, I came up with 13 reasons. I don't know if we're going to get through all of them. Again, that's why you have the list. You can go through some of those at home. It's spiritual bread. Right, Matthew 4:4, Jesus was being tempted by the devil, and he answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 8:2. And what they're being talking about there is a spoken word. Man lives by the spoken word of God. Okay. We want to hear from God because Jesus heard from God.
Right.
In Isaiah 50, beginning with verse 4, prophecy of Jesus. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Verse 5. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. Think what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went to the Lord, talked to the Lord, heard from the Lord, then went to the cross. If Jesus needs to listen to the Lord, how much more do I need to do it? Hearing builds our faith. Romans 10:17, verse we all know. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I imagine at one point or another, every person in this room has wanted more faith. Right? And we say, well, how do I get more faith? Well, it tells us. Comes from hearing the word of God. We need to hear. Now that hearing the word can come through scripture, it can come from the spoken word, and later on we'll go over the different ways that God can talk to us. Another reason we want to hear from the Lord is that it keeps us from danger. Genesis 6:13, God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. Now, if Noah wasn't listening, I don't think swimming wings were going to help him any. Listening to the Lord and obeying can keep us from danger. I imagine there's probably stories in this room of times that people heard from the Lord and obeyed and avoided danger, or didn't hear from the Lord and it didn't work out so well. And then you were asking, Lord, how do I get out of this mess? Prayer is an opportunity for us to dialogue with God. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which is not satisfying? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. If we listen diligently to God, he will show us how to have a joyful life. He will show us how to survive, even though we don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of resources. That dialogue with the Lord is vital to a joyful life. We should want to listen because God wants to talk with us. In Isaiah 1, beginning with verse 18, the Lord says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. How do we receive forgiveness from the Lord? We hear from Him. I know people that say, okay, you know, I know my sins are forgiven. Well, have you heard from the Lord? Have you really felt in your heart that the Lord has forgiven that sin in your life? Have you confessed it? Right? And, well, no, not really. They don't feel forgiven. They're still carrying that weight. Prayers with answers are powerful. You know, I think what we say to the Lord isn't as important as what God has to say to us. This is just a personal theory, so it may be wrong. I do know that the Lord knows every thought we have. So I don't know that it's that important for me to talk to the Lord. I think the reason it's important for me to talk to the Lord is so I can hear it in my own voice. How often have we said something out loud? As soon as it comes out of your mouth, you go, yeah, that was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. Right? And there's times that in prayer, it's like, Lord, it's like, oh, no, that's... No, I shouldn't be praying that way, Lord. I'm sorry. But it's more important that we hear from Him. And that Psalm 91:14, because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver Him. I will protect Him because He knows my name. When He calls to me, I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. In my Bible, that chapter is titled My Refuge and My Fortress. Again, in Psalm 81, beginning with verse 8. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you but listen to me. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. What a promise if we listen. When we talk to the Lord, Pema.
Can we back up a couple of verses where you said, have you gone to the Lord and has He said that your sins are forgiven, but, you know, you don't necessarily feel that they have, and you're still carrying around that guilt.
Mm-hmm. So, Isaiah 1.
So you're saying that we should believe the Word of God and not believe that the feelings that our body has and that our minds have and all that other stuff?
Let's put it up to a vote. Yeah, of course I believe that, yeah.
Okay. But the question is, do each of us believe that?
Yeah, no, that's
fine. I know.
Yeah, in our outside, I shouldn't have made light. You're absolutely right. That is critical. Because... We live in a society where grace isn't natural. We don't believe in unmerited favor. It's hard for us to accept forgiveness, and it's hard for us to forgive others. It just truly is. Because we think we're owed something back for it. It's a lie, but that's what we believe. It's definitely a lie, but that's what we believe. Yeah.
I think we live in a society, too, that everybody goes based on their feeling. What do they feel? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you feel about it? And, you know, forgiveness is not a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does it tell us? The heart is deceitful among all things. Yeah, a little bit further down, it talks about the heart being hard. And then the hard heart, good stuff bounces off of it. It just does.
It's kind of surprising when somebody does something like it. And probably is actually surprising today because people have gotten away from it so much.
Nathan was just doing something nice for you.
I'm actually such a great feeling to have when somebody does something nice for you at the grocery store or, you know, out anywhere. You know, it's surprising.
Yeah, the Lord. You know, it answers to our prayers. When you talk about avoiding trouble or guidance, the Lord gives us wisdom on where to work, who to marry, which house to buy, what ministry to be involved with. That's powerful stuff. You know, I mean, an example from my own life, you know, over 20 years ago, I was working in a miserable situation. And I have, you know, I have headhunters call me frequently and say, we can have you an interview before the week's over. Is that okay? I say, well, let me get back to you. And I pray about it, Lord, saying, I want you to stay here. I was like, all right, this is miserable. I don't want to be here. And that, but I did. And he had me in the exact right place at the exact right time and started business 20 years ago. Had I been somewhere else, I would not have been able to do it. And that, I mean, it makes a difference in our lives, a big difference in our lives.
So what you're saying is that we should listen to him or we should obey him, and then everything will work out the way it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is kind of a summation. Yeah, okay, well, we can go home. I'm teasing here. I'm teasing. You know me. Come on. Okay. Then the other thing, hearing from God allows us to recalibrate like a GPS. Right? We're heading down the road, and we make a turn, and, you know, that little voice, and, you know, what was it, Garmin, or whatever the current one. I guess they're all apps now. But anyway, turn right, recalibrate. I hate those voices, but that's a different story. But you know, but God, I guess he's the perfect GPS. Right? You know, we're heading in the wrong direction, and God kind of taps you on the head and goes, you're heading in the wrong direction. You need to turn around, you know, go 400 yards. And if we go to Psalms 119, 105. Teaching guy says, if I did time, biblical times, right? If I was a boat captain and Paul came up and go, hey, I'd like to rent your boat, and that guy goes, no, that's busy. You can't rent my boat because every boat Paul got on went down. Stay away from me. Okay, Psalm 119, 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Right? Now that word can be the written word, or it can be the spoken word. It's a lamp. Guides us. And what does the lamp do? It keeps us from falling off the road. I mean, I think, you know, up north, if you ever, you hear about driving in whiteout conditions, if you're out in the country, right, where, you know, it's so, you can't see where the road is, and it's very easy to end up in the ditch. Now, a light prevents us from ending up in spiritual ditches.
And we don't know what that's like here.
Horizontal
rain is pretty
rough.
Yeah. Just going back here to that GPS illustration too, and also what Amy said, you know, that is like so true. You know, when I think about, you know, again, if I'm going to the destination I want to go to, it's a different story. If I'm going to the destination I want to go to, it's a different story. But the bottom line of it is that's where we got to get our hearts in such a place. And who was it? Who was that? George Mueller said when he wanted to hear from the Lord, he would get his heart in such a place where that he had no will of his own and would do whatever the Lord asked him. And I think that's the same place, like with that GPS, you know, when it says, you know, make a U-turn, recalculating, you know, and I think that's what we have to remember is we're going, if our goal is for his will to be done, then it might not look like it's all going to work out exactly how we think right at that moment.
if his will is to get something accomplished, it might be 3 years down the road. I'm talking to somebody who's coming to me now, devastated because I was devastated a decade ago. And so you never know, but I think that is so super important. As long as we remember his will is being done, whatever he says. Yeah, the bigger picture than what we can see. And that builds our faith too, I think, when we trust in him like that.
Let me real quick. And I think, I had not thought about that. The GPS example probably is bad because we program the GPS much better than the Lord programs it.
I think of it like growing pains. You know, I mean, that's an important part of the process. I mean, it grows us. It grows us closer to God. But it grows the body, too. It grows the kingdom, you know, and sometimes that pain is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then it's kind of interesting. My next point here is that problems really are an effective opportunity for us to hear from God. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, I wouldn't wish problems myself or anyone else here. And then, but the truth is that we're more likely to seek the Lord out when we're facing a problem. Mm-hmm. And you can see that in Psalm 37:23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. That's a promise.
He also promises to hand you over to your devices, too. I heard that is,
If you don't listen and don't obey. Yeah. And hearing from the Lord produces good fruit, right? Jesus, when he was explaining the parable of the sower to the disciples in Luke 8:15, as for that and the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast, and in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Right? The crop bore fruit 100-fold. So obeying the Lord can bear fruit. Who of us doesn't want to hear some truth? Our hearing blesses us, and there's way too many verses to have included of all we did. A couple quick ones. Deuteronomy 28:1. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, obey, that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Notice that we're supposed to hear and obey. I think about if you had a one-on-one interview with the smartest person in the world. Would you go in there and think about what you want to tell them about you? Or would you want to go in with a list of questions, what you want to learn from them? Smartest man in the world is big compared to God. So we're going into the Lord, again, who created the universe. He knows how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to know at least a portion of what he knows. I think hearing from God is something we should all urge everyone. Mm-hmm. Does God still speak today? Right? You know, there's some people, I guess they're called deists, that believe that God created the world and then just kind of sat back and watched what happened. Like winding a, wind-up toy. Nobody has wind-up toys anymore. So you're going to use the wind-up watch. Nobody has wind-up watches anymore. Anyway, you do? Oh, okay. Anyway, that the Lord set the world in motion and then just kind of sat back and watching it. Like a reality show. But Scripture tells us that he's involved in our lives today. God speaks to regular people. And it's not just in Old Testament and biblical times. Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Anyone hears my voice and opens the door. God is speaking. Are you listening for his voice? I think there's some prerequisites to hearing from God, some things that we need to do to be prepared. You know, I mean, it's easy. I can talk to Mary here because we're face-to-face. We know each other. We're used to that. I can talk on the phone. I can text. I can email. Yeah. But not hearing from the Lord is a little different. Tools that I'm not used to using. They're spiritual tools. They're not physical tools. And you need to remember, too, that the devil doesn't like us to hear from God. Mm-hmm. Right? Because he knows all the blessings, all the reasons we should want to hear from God. He doesn't like that. Yeah, so he does whatever he can to mess things up, change things, not change the way the Lord speaks, because the Lord's voice is clear. But he will change how we hear it, how we receive it, how we take it in our heart. Look at what he did with Adam and Eve. God didn't really say. Yeah, God spoke quite clearly to Adam and Eve what the instruction was. Yeah, the best word. The first prerequisite to hearing from God is that we need to listen, intending to obey. Right? Adam is a perfect example. In Genesis 22:1, right, this is the passage where Abraham sacrificing Isaac, right, not sacrificing Isaac. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am. And he said, here I am. Verse 2, he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place God had told him. It's foolish for us to listen to God and then decide whether we're going to obey or not. I mean, think about that. You get an answer, you're told something from the creator of the universe, then you decide whether he's right or not. Now, does that make any sense to anybody? It's just foolishness. And the other question is, you know, being a little bit what Amy was, you know, and Pastor Darren was saying, but, you know, why would we not want to obey God? Okay, you know, maybe what we're hearing isn't something that's going to make us necessarily happy. But we do know the plans he has for us is good, not for evil. Right? So, you know, we should be perfectly willing to obey him.
Gary?
Yeah.
That scripture is a beautiful example of how we need to continue to listen to God, too. Because had he heard, you know, the first message and stopped listening to God then, he would have killed his son.
Very good. I hadn't thought about that. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, very good.
That is a good point.
Yeah. Thank you. I think we need to listen with an expectation of hearing. You say, I think there's some believers today, it's like, well, God's not really involved in my life. He doesn't care about me. He's too busy. And how many billion people are on the earth? I don't know how many billion. Three? Well, I don't know. Billions of people on the earth. How can God possibly be bothered, you know, with the problems of here? You've got more important things to do. You know, spinning the globes on his fingers. He doesn't have time to listen for me. We need to listen with an expectation of hearing. Because if we don't, frankly, we're denying. Right? I mean, you just read, I will speak. If you will open the door, I will knock. If you will open the door, right, I will come in and commune with you. I will be with you. Amen. So if we don't expect to hear, we're denying his word. How does God speak? Yeah.
And if people are thinking that, who am I? Why does he want to hear from me? He doesn't want to hear from me. Really, they're kind of putting the focus on themselves and not God. You know, because the only reason we're with God is because brought us to him for his purpose. Mm-hmm. So we need to hear from him to know what it is he wants us to do.
It's truthful. I think you're right, and I would add to it, I mean, the fact that we don't hear from God because any of us deserve to hear from God. Mm-hmm. That's really the bottom line. We hear from God because of his grace. That's the reason that we're able to hear from God.
You hear it going back to what Jen said, too. I was thinking about that more. And I was thinking about even what I share with folks. You know, two things. It kind of goes both ways. You know, there are sometimes, I just love my kids. And there are sometimes, even though I love them tremendously, they'll talk about things, to be blunt honest,
that I am not interested in. They'll be telling me about a video game, that an in-depth thing that, you know, I don't care about the video game. But you know what? I want to hear from them because I love my kids. And it's exciting to them. And so I love them, so I want to listen to them. And I was thinking conversely, too, when it comes to listening. I was thinking to myself, you know, if somebody doesn't listen, like I used to be, you know, run a company, and if there was somebody there that wasn't continually listening, I would just stop talking, and eventually that person would kind of go away. Think about that. If you continually talk to somebody all the time, and they just wouldn't listen to you, I mean, God is so patient. Thank God he's more patient than me. But you know what? I want to stop talking to them. Okay, well, I'm not mad, but okay, I'm just not going to talk anymore. So how much more, you know, do we need to make sure that when that we're listening for God to speak, and when he speaks, we are ready to obey. So just a good word.
Good. Now, the Lord has various ways to speak to us. And I believe that the Lord uses the methods that are best suited to who we are, how he made us. Some people hear from the Lord in one medium. Some people hear from the Lord in a different medium. And that. So don't be concerned that you may not hear from him a specific way. He'll speak to you in the way that's best for you. The primary way that God speaks to us is through the Bible. It's the instruction manual of the world. It's the love letter from the creator of the universe. The easiest way to hear from God is to ask him to help you understand scripture. It's interesting. A few months before I became a believer, before I accepted the Lord as Savior, and I didn't realize and what it was at the time. It was a leading from the Lord to go into a Christian bookstore and buy a Bible. It's weird, but it happened, and I did. And I was used to, at the time, I'd been doing transcendental meditation, so I was just having a 20-minute time in the morning meditation. I started reading the Bible. Well, the truth was, it didn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand any of it. Then I came to know the Lord, and it was funny. All of a sudden, the book made sense. I didn't realize that he was talking to me through his word. As a baby believer. But he was talking through his word. You're in a position where you go, I'm not used to the Lord. You know, I'm not used to hearing from the Lord. That's a great place to start. When you open your Bible, ask the Lord to speak to you through his written word. And that's a good thing for all of us to do. You know, because I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I have a tendency to speed read. Right? It's like, well, my goal is to get to the bottom of the chapter or the end of the page, whatever it is, right? It should be, okay, well, wait, Lord, what do you want me to learn in this passage? What can I learn in Ephesians 2, 3, whatever, you know, whatever it is, what would you have me learn from it? That's the primary way that the Lord speaks to us. Yeah.
And
that, so we're going to get into that. No, you're absolutely right, because we do know that is a primary way of confirming what you're hearing is from the Lord. Yeah, but we will get into that. Sometimes God speaks by his voice, and just as Mary said, actually your placement is perfect, because beyond the word, you know, the written word of God, Scripture, everything else, you need to confirm that you're actually hearing from the voice of God. Right? Because the enemy is out there, and he's a mimicker. Right? You know, he's, I don't know, do they currently have, do they still have impersonators out there?
Oh, yes.
Entertainment?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And he's a great impersonator. I mean, that, but my sheep know my voice. Right? And we need to listen carefully to test all of these other methods. And then we'll get into how you can test next week. Sometimes God speaks by a voice, though. Right? And unlike Hollywood, it isn't a big, loud voice with a reverb unit in the background, sounding like Charlton Heston or whoever the actor was. Right? But God doesn't shout. I've never known the Lord to shout. And I think the reason for that is that when somebody yells at me, they get my attention. I have a hard time listening to their message afterwards. And so God speaks to us in a voice that we can understand. Acts 9, beginning with verse 10. Now there was a disciple of Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen it in vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. You know, God speaks to people. God speaks through the events of our life sometimes. Right? Think about the passage about with John the Baptist. Right? John sitting in prison, and he's going, gee, this wasn't quite like how I thought this was going to work out. This really, you know, is this Jesus really the Christ that I thought he was? Right? Matthew 11, beginning with verse 2. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, Go back and report to John what you see and hear. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Amen. Events in our lives can be God speaking to us. Now, we need to be careful because not everything in our life is a message from the Lord. And the fact that I dropped a plate on the way to the kitchen sink and broke it doesn't mean that the Lord's telling me to buy a new set of dishes. we need to test events and see. Now, we can take it too far. God speaks through the nature of Jesus. Hebrews 1:1 again. God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers of the prophets by diverse portions and in diverse manners, hath at the end of these days spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds. I think of Gail Irwin's The Jesus Song. And Gail goes through the nature of Jesus. And what, 8 or 9? It's wonderful. I'm glad the ladies are going through it. I know maybe the guys will go through it too before they're through. God speaks through the nature of Jesus, who Jesus is, how he treated the disciples, how he related to the world. And that, if you hear that you should marry your brother's wife, chances are that's not consistent with the nature of Jesus. What you might, maybe should be hearing is be weary of your brother's wife. It's not, we need to test what we hear against the nature of Jesus. And God speaks through the Holy Spirit. Those who look and go, well, we're too scientific to believe in spirits anymore. They'll call it the conscious. I think the conscious is the quiet voice of the Holy Spirit speaking within us. Amen. In John 6:12, I'll race so we can finish here. John 16, beginning with verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to us as the voice of God. God speaks through his creation. All right, Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even as everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. Right? Isn't that why people hike camp, visit national parks, observe the night sky, bird watch. There's so many things in nature, and I'm kind of an indoor person in that, but there's so many things where God, you know, we say the rocks cry out. And I joke about our speakers out front that the rocks are crying out, but it's true. You know, this creation speaks to us. God can speak through angels. The birth of Christ, Luke 2:10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Angels can speak to us. Okay. Yeah.
I believe I had an angel speak to me one time. Audibly, I heard the voice. It was at a time in my life when things were really, really rough. And I was working 3 jobs to keep food on the table. And I was headed to work one morning, and I was walking up to the building I was going to work in, and I looked over in the distance, and I was so down, I was feeling so bad, and there was this rainbow, beautiful rainbow, and I said, no, you know, looked at it, and I thought, no, now's not a time for a rainbow. And I heard a voice say, "He keeps his promises." Literally heard the voice, and that's the only time this ever happened to me. But I heard an audible voice say that He keeps His promises, and He did.
That's awesome.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. No, it's absolutely true. What's that? Mention that. This one. Okay. God sometimes speaks through dreams. Right, Matthew 2:13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. This is the father of Jesus. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." God sent a very, very important message to Joseph. Right, he didn't use carrier pigeon. He didn't use the kings of the Orient. Right? He sent the word to Joseph. God sometimes speaks through visions. And a vision is just a picture or a movie in our mind's eye. Acts 10:19, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." God speaks to us through visions. Amen. God speaks sometime in a specific time and place. It may be that He tells us to do or go somewhere to hear from Him. This happened in Jeremiah, and in the interest of time, I'll skip it, but you can read it later in chapter 18, verse 1. And that the Lord told him to go, Jeremiah, to go to a specific place. And it was because He wanted to see the potter spinning a wheel, where he didn't like the pot and reformed it. And the Lord had a specific message for Jeremiah that made a whole lot more sense when he saw what the potter was doing. Now, next week, we're going to talk about what we can ask God. How do you know it's God? Why don't I hear from God? And how can I increase hearing from the Lord? That's next week. If you miss next week, before you record it, make sure you hear it. Because today's message is incomplete. And today's message, I think, was for the Lord to put it on our hearts, desire to hear from Him more. To put a burning in our hearts to hear from Him. And that next week is more of a how-to. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you that you want to speak to us, Lord. Father, I'd ask that that you create a burning desire in all of us to hear from you every day. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to pray continually. I think that means more than we should talk to you continually, but that we should listen for your voice continually, Lord. We should always be on the lookout. We should always be hearing. Lord, I ask that, that you give us not only ears to hear, as Jesus talked about, but that you would give us hearts to hear as well, Lord. And again, as I prayed at the beginning, Lord, if there's hardness in our hearts, Lord, burn that hardness away. Take anything away that blocks us hearing your voice. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you care so much that you sent a Savior by whose grace we are saved. Lord, I ask that you bless this this little body of people in the upcoming week, Lord. Guide our steps, be a lamp unto our feet, and bring us all safely back to you next Sunday. In the name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great week.